Catholic commentary. Spiritual warfare. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Jesus 911.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911, two-man car. My name is Jesse Romero, my partner, Dr. Dan Schneider. I am over here in the East Coast. I'm in Des Moines, Iowa, and my partner's over in New Mexico. We're doing the show here, Jesus 911, Soul Patrol.
For California, yeah. That's East Coast, but for Ohio, that's Midwest.
Got
that's
it.
The basket of America right there. There's good people where you're at.
Hey, Dan, by the way, you were a hit this weekend. Dan came to Southern California. He was at our Spiritual Warfare Conference. This will be one of many, many conferences that Dan is invited to in California. All the crew at VMPR met Dan. Loved his lectures, loved his spirit. So, and the people in Southern California, trust me, they're going to want to hear more and more from Dr. Dan Schneider, who's a gift of the church. By the way, Dan, before we get into today's show, I want to commend a great pro-life warrior who just passed away. Joseph Scheidler, who's a godfather of the pro-life movement, passed away today. He's 93 years old. He's one of the pioneers of the Catholic pro-life movement. Want to pray for him. Eternal rest grant unto him, O Lord, and let your perpetual light shine upon Joe Scheidler. May the soul of Joseph Scheidler, through the mercy of God, rest in peace. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
I met Joe years ago in a pro-life dinner, and he was the keynote speaker. And the book that he had at the time, I forget which one it was, but he signed it for me. And we're both Notre Dame graduates, and he signed it, pray to Notre Dame for Notre Dame. Because Notre Dame, of course, is the French word for Our Lady. Pray to Our Lady for Notre Dame. So we had that in common as well. Tremendous man, a guy that let it all out, didn't hold anything back for the glory of God and salvation of souls. So maybe I'm sure he's getting a warm reception.
That's what my wife said.
He was a good, millions. I'm not going to canonize him. He was a good man, and we pray for his soul. But right. he did a lot of work for the Lord and the church.
Yeah, my wife was saying he was received by millions and millions and millions of babies who were aborted, who are now souls in heaven, and they were saying, "Lord, let him in. Lord, let him in. He was a good man." Can you imagine all the people that are just advocating for him right now, as he went through his particular judgment? Dan, also want to mention before we get into the topics today that on Monday. Or it was yesterday, actually, President Trump, he honored many Catholic saints in the Garden of American Heroes. President Trump honored in the National Garden of American Heroes yesterday. He honored St. Elizabeth Ann Seton, St. Catherine Drexel, St. John Newman, St. Junipero Serra, and Venerable Fulton Sheen. So basically, as his last act in the White House, he honored many Catholic saints, and he called them American Heroes. So,
I saw that. That's fantastic. It's fantastic to have a president that is favorable to the Catholic Church and the history of Catholicism in America. It was a beautiful sentiment that he put forth. I was very proud of that.
Dan, I want to jump into the area where you're an expert at. That's what we have you in on Wednesdays. You're a SWAT guy. You're the sharpshooter. You're the sharpshooter on the SWAT team when it comes to spiritual warfare. I want to talk about crystals. What's wrong with Catholics using crystals, Dan? Give us basically an overview in this segment. What's wrong with being a Catholic and going to the store, to the antique store, to the botanica store and buying crystals? What can possibly be wrong with that? I mean, aren't they just rocks that look nice?
Yeah, I think they seem like nice rocks, etc. But if you an easy search. You could type in crystals plus the occult. Now, let's distinguish between cult and occult. The cult of Mary, for example, means it's a word, cultus is a Latin word for worship. or devotion. So the cult of Mary, the cult of the saints, etc., the cult of the angels. It's not worship of the angels, the saints, or Mary. It's devotion to. Okay, so it's a particular type of devotion. For example, the occult, occult. Then we're talking about foreign gods and foreign religions. You know, we would consider Gentile or pagan. So if I use the word pagan, it isn't disparaging. This is a technical term for those who don't believe in the same God as we do, the Trinity, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, three persons, one God. So when Catholics need to understand that a lot of the stuff that's out there today is there's an increase, a very positive increase among younger people in particular for natural foods, homeopathic recipes or remedies for sicknesses. We're not just rushing to get shots and meds and pills. People are looking for more natural ways to eat. They're looking for natural ways to maintain their health, and that's very positive. Alongside of that has come a lot of occultic intermingling. So we just have to be very careful of that. So if you type in the word, Himalayan salt plus the occult, you'll find that the Himalayan salt, sure, there's nothing intrinsically wrong with it, but it's often used for occult purposes. Same thing with crystals. Nothing wrong. You're out on a hike, you find a beautiful rock or crystal. There's nothing wrong with these things, but when they are used for occultic means or purposes to draw down or draw out entities, power, energy, protection, cleansing, that's where the danger lies in. And a lot of Catholics are doing these things not knowing. You know, many, many cases, they're doing the lemon cleansing, or egg cleansing or bonsai trees. So you're using matter in a way that is invoking foreign energies or foreign deities or foreign, which, Psalms very clearly tell us these are false gods. These are demons. They worship false gods, which are demons. So you're invoking these powers. And when you do that, you're giving a permission. So you have to be just very cautious. For those that are interested in a more homeopathic and natural way of eating and tending to their sicknesses, there's good remedies out there, but you have to be very careful because a lot of these botanicas, as you know, are if you buy in a crystal there, it's not because you're at a rock store and it looks kind of cool on the side of the road, one of those stores on the side of the road on the highway because it looks cool and your kids like rocks. These are used for occult purposes, and so there's really no redeeming them. So that's kind of the distinction. If you're calling upon a force from outside your body, it's very dangerous. If you're drawing natural energy from within the body and using the body's natural systems, then there's nothing wrong with that, like chiropractic, right? There's nothing wrong with chiropractic because you're using the body's natural skeletal system. But if you're invoking chakras, which are pagan understandings of energy entry points in the human body, if you're invoking the spirits behind the chakras to invite energy and healing or fertility or you name it, love, intimacy, whatever, if you're doing that, you now have given a permission to something that you really shouldn't, because they're not very nice ever.
Dan, the U.S. bishops, they also put out some guidelines on some of these for Reiki and all these other alternative healing techniques. The U.S. bishops say that attempts to correct imbalances in life energy through the placement of the practitioner's hands on certain parts of the body, the bishops point out that the central elements of the worldview suggested by Reiki and some of these other practices belong neither to the Christian faith nor to natural science. Given this, the U.S. bishops conclude that Catholics who trust in Reiki are entering the realm of superstition, which corrupts one's worship of God by turning one's religious feeling and practice in a false direction. So that's essentially what you're saying there.
Reiki is one that again, it's not just pressure point, because you can go to a massage therapist and that specializes in acupressure. And so what acupressure does is it uses distinct pressure upon certain parts of the body to bring in natural healing, the body's natural healing elements to it. Again, chiropractic is a very simple answer or example. But when you're invoking, like Reiki does, Reiki is acupressure on diabolic steroids, because you're now invoking foreign entities into the body to bring healing. And that's where the danger is. Same thing with, and I know this is, I know when I'm speaking at conferences, talking about entry points and familiar entry points, et cetera, talking about yoga. This is a very unpopular topic among, especially in suburban Catholic America. You might even have parishes and retreat centers hosting yoga, but there's just no baptizing it. You know, years ago, when you and I first met 15, 20 years ago, you used to talk about your grandma's brownies with the secret ingredient of dog poop in it. Do you remember telling that story?
Yeah.
Use that with my kids. Dad, can we go see this movie? When they were young, can we go see this movie? I would say, look, and I would steal this from Jesse, and I didn't even give you the footnote, so I'm gonna give you credit for that now. It's a great understanding. It's you know, I want to go see this movie. It's R-rated movie. There's only a couple of nude scenes, and they only use four bad words, and it's the same four. I say, okay, I got a recipe of brownies that my friend Jesse Romero gave me. It came from his grandma, and there's a secret ingredient. And what she did was, is that she made these amazing chocolate brownies, but she would go outside and just get a little bit of dog poop, and she would mix them into the brownies. You'll never see it. You'll never taste it. You'll never smell it. How'd you like to have one of these brownies? And they're like, no way. I'm not eating that. It's got dog poop in it. Well, there's no way to pull that ingredient out, you see. And as good as it might taste, there's no way to pull it out. So unless you're willing to eat dog poop, don't eat Jesse's grandma's brownies, right? That's the lesson. The same thing with yoga, Kundalini yoga, Reiki. These things are invoking foreign elements, and there's no way to baptize them. There's no way. Even in the article, Father Mitch Pacwa talks about in the 70s, very popular in the 70s, and many of our parishes are stuck in the 70s. He did this kind of yoga thinking it was Christian. It was a Christian version of yoga, and there's just no way to Christianize it.
Jesus 911, two-man car, Jess Romero, Dan Schneider. Good stuff. Catholic spiritual warfare at its finest.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Soul Patrol, Jesus 911, I want to give a shout out to the St. Michael's Shield Prayer Group. These are some solid Catholic men in Southern California. I think if chapters like this would start all over the country, but people could even connect through Zoom and stuff, so we're going to talk more about them. In fact, Dan, what I'm going to do next week is I'm going to have Ernie and I'm going to have Eddie Brock Armando. I'm going to have them on so we can talk to them because I like what they're doing. Dan, you came to Southern California. Yeah. You met some of these guys. Tell me, you told me you were inspired just by what these guys are doing.
Yeah, absolutely. It just got me fired up. Those guys are fantastic. You get just regular guys. I'm former military. A lot of former military guys, law enforcement. I saw a lot of blue lines and red line T-shirts and hats. I saw, just good fashion, good old fashioned American men doing this prayer group. I likened this place, and my first time there. Again, I said in one of my conferences, I'm from Ohio. We were told, don't go to the state of Michigan. Don't go to the state of California. Weird stuff happens there. Stay away from those places. It's dangerous. You know, I joke about that, but there's polar opposite. You have this impression of Southern California, particularly, you know, of Hollywood or Hollyweird, as we like to call it, the left coast. We always call it the left coast. And here's this group of guys that these guys are living. This is a combat outpost of the church militant. You know what I mean? These guys are just covering shields together and taking on the enemy through prayer, seeking holiness, accountability with each other. What they're doing is a model for what needs to take place in the church. Mouse pad, you know, Cardinal Newman, I got Cardinal Newman and Terry's got it in his office. The quote from Cardinal Newman, a well-formed laity is what it's going to take to reform the church. And it's guys like this that are doing it, not through getting petitions signed. They're not yelling at their bishop, their priest. These are guys that are praying the office. These guys are praying spiritual warfare prayers on behalf of the church. These guys are daily communicants working together, overlapping their shields. What I saw was a cohort of Roman legionnaires. And centurions out there that have made it through the hard part of this life, learned lessons, are now doing spiritual warfare in the correct Catholic way. And these guys are prayer warriors. And it was just a blessing to be there. I hope I get invited back and go see them again because those guys are great guys. And they make good fish too. That was a great fish fry we had on Friday night.
Yeah, definitely. We'll be doing this again and again. In fact, Dan, I know we got a project that we're working on putting a manual for lay people together from Father Ripperger's lectures. So these guys are going to be the first guys that are going to be trained by Dr. Dan Schneider when this booklet comes out later on this year. I can promise you that. Dan, I want to talk about a case that without mentioning any names, but I'm just going to give you a series of circumstances that I want you to give us the Catholic solution, the Catholic approach, the Catholic response. Okay, so here's the case. You got a young guy, 22 years old, lives with his parents and several siblings that live together in the house. The young man's enrolled in community college. He just completed his Marine Corps reserve training. He's in the process of being hired in law enforcement. He's come back to the practice of his Catholic faith as a result of joining the St. Michael's Shield Prayer Group, which, again, it's an all-male group of men that prays the Divine Office and the Holy Rosary, you know, 6 a.m. and 6 p.m., 7 days a week. Can you imagine that? That yeah. type of discipline. So this young guy, we'll call him Johnny. So Johnny has significantly benefited from his association with the St. Michael Shield Prayer Group. And obviously they're evangelizing him, they're catechizing him, they're sharing resources with him on how to live in a state of grace. And so Johnny obviously looks up to these people because he has had a history of occult practice. Johnny has seen preternatural activity at his house. He says even all the way back since the age of five. And he says his mom and dad practice their faith, but they also go to see a sorcerer. And this sorcerer, you know, teaches the father and the mother, you know, to use, you know, candles. And Johnny said he's found candles and dead animals on the exterior of his house. He says this is something common throughout his childhood. He says, so his parents practice a Catholic faith, but they also go to the sorcerer and get all this occult paraphernalia. Right around the age of seven, this young kid, Johnny, he says that his dad had consistent health problems, which a doctor couldn't diagnose. And so his father went again to the sorcerer, and essentially the father's health was restored. And Johnny says the father, you know, and goes often to this botanica, and the father's taken Johnny as well. And Johnny notices that his dad looks at this sorcerer, considers him like a father figure. So one of the things that Johnny has said about preternatural activity in the house, he says he's remembered that his father, he could smell sage being burnt in the house. Obviously, his father is using sage as in an occultic way. Johnny also says that when he was young, one day he was being bullied at school. They went to the sorcerer, and the sorcerer did some type of hex or incantation, and immediately the bullies at school stopped bullying Johnny cold turkey. Johnny's also said that he's also dealt with excessive sleepiness, and the father took him to the sorcerer. The sorcerer basically did some incantation on him, and he was healed from excessive sleepiness. And the sorcerer told him that he saw a dead spirit in Johnny that was affecting him. Johnny's also participated in walking around a white circle, and doing some occultic prayers as indicated by the sorcerer. But the long and the short of it, he's back to his Catholic faith because of the St. Michael's Prayer Group. Johnny does say that when he was in boot camp, one of the things that he says that in his house, they had noticed that there were maggots on the side of the on some walls in the house. He said when he went over to boot camp as well, he saw maggots in his barrack, and obviously he still wasn't a solid Catholic yet until he came back and he met the St. Michael's group, and they've been catechizing him, they've been evangelizing him, and as a result of that, he's now returned to the practice of his faith. He said he was sitting in the car with his brother. His brother's joining a law enforcement agency as well. Or his brother's a cop as well in Southern California. He said they were listening to a program, Jesus 911. They were listening to one of the podcasts. And they heard somebody say the name of Jesus during the podcast, and he said that his brother, who's, you know, living in fornication and shacking up and not practicing his faith, he says the Coke can exploded in the car as they heard the name of Jesus being said on Jesus 911. So Johnny's now practicing his faith. He's disconnected from the sorcerer. He's connected with the good Saint Michael's Shield prayer group of men, and he's got a pretty serious prayer life. What else would you tell him to do, given that he lives with his mom and dad, who are practicing the occult along with the Catholic faith? What other things would you tell Johnny to do to try to find full healing from this situation that he finds himself in?
Well, it started inward and working outward. Each of us has Psalm 91 protection over our locus. We have full authority over where we are, our place. So even traveling, you know, in hotels, who knows what kind of stuff takes place in the hotel rooms when we're not there. Blessing the hotel room, you have a certain natural law, a limited but natural law authority over your area. And so praying for himself, doing prayers of protection for himself in his room, particularly to stop any night disturbances, et cetera. So praying for yourself and praying for prayers of protection for yourself and wherever you go, asking your guardian angel to accompany you, et cetera, is very important. He's going to have to up his prayer life. He's going to have to understand that when the entry point is familiar, when parents abdicate their God-given authority and they surrender a child to a diabolic force, it's very difficult for that child because the demon's going to be laying claim to that. So staying in a state of grace is going to be absolutely essential. He's going to have a shield of protection of the state of grace and not waver outside of that. He's going to have to be very disciplined in his prayer life. Once he gets married in his own sacrament, the sacrament of marriage, grace will begin to flow even further for him. But maintaining a state of grace and living the teachings of the church is very important. But we see, the 1-2 punch of that really sinks the diabolic in is when it normally begins with the avoidance of suffering. So in this case, the avoidance of suffering, you instead of going to God for this suffering, let's use the example of the bullying at school. There was a movie came out years ago when we were younger called, I think it was called My Bodyguard, where these kids were getting bullied. So they hired a bully, a bigger bully, to beat up the bully. And then what does he do? He hires a bigger bully to beat up the second bully to protect them from the original bullies, you see. And so this is what's taking place in the life of this young man, is that this person that's practiced doing witchcraft, he uses whatever was causing the bullying, if there's a diabolic force behind it, he goes in with a bigger bully. And now the problem with that is that bully is going to start exacting some sort of payment for this. And so in which case, him of sleeplessness, it's going to be, you know, other strange occurrences in his life. And so you got to confess anything that smacks of superstition, of any violations, any stepping on unholy grounds, confess participation, even as a child, confess, bring it to the sacrament of confession so that the grace of that sacrament can help bring healing to that. Pray that the waters of your baptism would flow back through your parents and the familial line to cleanse of that. But at the end of the day, the 1-2 punch that seems to sink things in is the avoidance of the cross, avoidance of suffering, and then some occult practice. You know, and what is the first principle of the Buddha? Okay, the first principle of the Buddha is life is suffering. Therefore, you should seek to transcend it by finding transcendent states to avoid suffering. The whole essence of Buddhism and Eastern pagan type prayer is to avoid the cross, to avoid suffering. And that suffering comes in many forms. Sometimes it comes in the form of inability to have a child, and so people use Kundalini yoga, for example, to invoke a source external to them to help them to reinforce their generative powers, etc. Well, there's a price that will be paid for that. The suffering of being bullied at school, the suffering of loneliness. So they get someone to give them a love potion. We've seen many, many cursed marriages because somebody invoked a love potion to find a mate. Instead of offering their loneliness to God, instead of seeking their vocation in and through God, instead of finding their protection in God, you're avoiding suffering. What is the first principle of the Buddha? Life is suffering, avoid it. What's the basic principle of Catholicism? If you wish to be my disciple, three things. Deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow me. And there's joy in finding that. There's joy in finding the will of God and offering your suffering up. So that's the root difference. And when people try to step out of Catholicism, it's funny how we're becoming immaterial as our Catholics. Our churches are becoming more and more stripped down of the material elements. I'll get to that point in the next segment.
Jesus 911 Two-Man Card, Dan Schneider, Jess Romero, talking about all things Catholic spiritual warfare.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911 Soul Patrol Two-Man Car, Jess Romero, Dan Schneider, talking about all things spiritual warfare on Wednesdays. Dan was just in Southern California giving a spiritual warfare conference along with myself. And we're talking right now about being a young practicing Catholic and your parents practicing the occult. You live under their roof. You're under their authority. Your parents, again, go to Mass, but at the same time, they practice occult type syncretistic practices. And so I'm asking Dan, what's a young man to do? I know right now you basically addressed what the parents are called to do. The parents are basically Buddhist in their mentality because they want to avoid all kinds of suffering. No, I don't want to suffer. Let me go down to the sorcerer, to the botanica. I get that. That's exactly where the parents are at. And that's a good point, Dan. We as Catholics, in many quarters of the church, we've bought into the health and wealth gospel of the Protestants. And the fact is we forgot about the old time religion, which is called redemptive suffering, mm-hmm. which is something very important for us. Again, when we offer up our sufferings and we're projecting forth our sufferings and giving them to God, I mean, an evil spirit is saying, wait a minute, Jess and Dan, they are offering, I am attacking them. They're taking my oppression, my vexation, annoyance, torment, and now they're offering them to God for the salvation of other people. Yeah. Oh no, I'm the cause of Jess Romero's sanctification. No way, this doesn't compute. I'm out of here. I'm not going to help Jess become holy. But instead, if Jess Romero goes to the botanica and says, do a limpia on me because I don't want to feel pain, we've bought into the devil's lie and fallen right into his trap. That's essentially what you just said, right?
Yeah, absolutely. This is, I mean, it's not complicated. I mean, this is bologna sandwich Catholicism. This is keeping it simple. This is Mr. Miyagi's crane technique. If done correctly, there is no defense. Offering oneself as Christ, there's no defense. The demon cannot defend it. When you offer yourself as make yourself, as this is again, St. Paul, make yourself a living sacrifice, offering yourselves up for your family, for your children. So the young man, when he suffers in particular, offering his suffering up for his parents, offering any suffering up for his parents. You know, I got an email exchange this week with someone who was molested by a priest as a child, offering up your suffering today, 40 years later, 30 years later, but offering today's suffering up for the person who victimized you. In this case, for this young man, Johnny, offering up his suffering for his parents, that the light of truth would be upon his parents, praying and offering their suffering up. That's the most powerful thing he can do outside of, you know, of course, staying in a state of grace, but learning to offer up all that we do instead of, and the great really, one of the greatest maladies of the modern age is among Christians is an inability to take a punch, the inability to suffer a little bit. Mm. It's effeminacy. You know, this, I have to have soft clothes. I have to have, you know, et cetera. I'll dress perfect. When I go to work, I have a meeting with somebody important. I don't mind dressing up and having a nice pressed shirt and shine my shoes. But I go to Mass, I'm gonna wear my Cowboys jersey because Cowboys are playing today or whatever. That's effeminate. That's not giving God the proper due. And so this young man needs to apply what everything he learned at Marine boot camp, Hua, everything he learned about being a Marine, he needs to start becoming a Marine for Jesus Christ. Now, another thing you mentioned was maggots you know, you hear a lot of people well-intended say, well, my spirit animal is a dolphin. My spirit animal is a unicorn. You know what I mean? No one ever says my spirit animal is a maggot, right? But what do maggots indicate? Well, death. You know, that's a sign that a spirit of death is upon this family. So, you know, people ask me, oh, what's your spirit animal? My spirit animal is a lamb, the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, right? That's my spirit animal, right? My spirit animal is a dove, right? Coming down, you know, upon me and through the sacrament. Those are the spirit animals that I cling to as a Catholic. And so all this other stuff we're talking about is just pagan. And we're not, and you're, remember, let's remind the audience, this individual, his parents, not only they go to mass, they participate. I think they're Eucharistic ministers they're lectors. I can't tell you the cases that come to us often. There are people that have gone completely off the rails. I mean, they're just came out of a crazy lifestyle, obvious occult. I mean, and they realize, yeah, I'm in over my head. I've had enough. Or they're very active at their parish. So you get people that are come to us with afflictions, and they're very active as Catholics. They're communion ministers. They're teaching a catechism. They're lectors, etc. Because they're drawn to the church, but they're still got one foot in some of this pagan world. And I think for me, my observation again, as just a foot soldier in the field, my observation is cap scout in the field that's got that's glassing down range, looking at targets and calling in fire. What's happening is the avoidance of the cross. We've lost the ability and the understanding of the concept of redemptive suffering.
You're talking about the parents here.
Yeah, I'm talking about the parents here. The parents have lost the ability to suffer. Yeah. And so, but when you suffer at the hands of another, like this child has, he suffered some affliction because his parents let him in, offering his suffering up for them. Lord, I can't sleep right now. This something is keeping me awake. I have anxiety, right? If this is not from you and it's diabolic in origin, I ask you to send it back to its source with a tenfold blessing. If you want me to carry this cross of sleeplessness and be sleepy all day tomorrow, right, and not be able to sleep and be irritable or anxious, I accept this cross willingly. I ask you for the grace to carry it, and I offer it up for my parents, that the light of truth would be upon them, that the grace of conversion would be upon them, that the grace of metanoia will be upon them. That's the type of that's the Miyagi-Do hoist Gracie type Catholicism that we need to practice, that embraces the suffering. It isn't, oh, poor me, look at me, I'm a victim. No, we're asking God for the grace to carry it. But if it's diabolic, we're sending it back to its source, but we're asking for the grace to carry it. And when you do that, he will either remove it or give you the grace to carry it, and that grace will be poured out. If you suffered something traumatic, and many, many people have, not just those who come to the church for help, but there are many people with deep, deep wounds, you know, wounds without scars. There's many people with these deep psychological and emotional wounds, learning how to deal with this, how to offer your suffering up, that it has some meaning. This is the essence of Christianity. This is the essence of our grandmothers that told us, oh no, you know, your girlfriend broke up with you. You got cut from the baseball team. This happened to you. You failed your test, whatever. Offer it up. And we never knew what that meant. None of us Catholic. What do you mean offer it up? Just offer it up. What do you mean offer it up? This is what offered up means. This is Abuela Catholicism, offering up our suffering for the world. And when we offer, and we link it to the person who caused the suffering itself, that's when real grace comes into the world. We apply that. God looks down at your suffering at age 5, and he allows you at age 55 to now offer it back to him for the salvation of that soul that hurt you. This is mystical spirituality, but
Dad, yeah. Let me ask you a question. That prayer that you just prayed right now, would that be a classic prayer of offering it up? Would it be under the category of a redemptive suffering, offering it up prayer? What you just talked about right now?
Yeah, that's
well. How would you categorize that prayer?
Yeah, that'd be one form of a judo type prayer, a offering okay. up of redemptive suffering. I'm suffering okay. X. That X could be physical. That X could be spiritual. It could be psychological. The X could be I got to get up in 3 hours and I can't sleep. It could be I've got pain in my body. It's an offering up what you have. And sometimes people are so used to getting beat down by the diabolic that they just don't know what to do with that pain. And so learning to offer it up is very liberating. And not only is it liberating, it pours grace into the world. The sacrifice that the guys at the combat outpost in Southern California, 6 and 6 every day praying together, that little sacrifice is a way of offering up for the church, you know. And oftentimes we'll tell our cases, please offer your, can you offer your suffering up for the purification of the church? And this is how grace is coming in. It's going to flow into the world through the laity, through our own offering up. It's not going to come by signing petitions and hand them to the bishop and do what are those online petitions, you know, that you do for people. You're not going to sway hearts that way. If my kids did an online petition because they wanted me to, you know, take them on vacation somewhere, and I didn't want to take them on vacation here, and they did an online public petition, that's not going to sway my heart. What's going to sway my heart is a heart, you know, my children come to me in love and praying for me. And we need to do the same thing for our spiritual pastor, our spiritual fathers.
Dan, you know, one of the things I think that makes the St. Michael Shield Prayer Group, I think they understand the importance. They do, again, they pray together at 6 a.m. and 6 p.m. So they're praying two of the three times that they're praying, they're praying with the flow of stream of the Church Universal. The, you know, 6, 12, and 6, which is traditionally where more people, more Catholics in monasteries and abbeys and convents, more people are praying at that time. And so the St. Michael Shield Prayer Group, they're tapping into the flow, the current, the powerful Colorado River current of prayer, which is making their prayer that much more powerful. Isn't that the case?
Yeah, absolutely. And as you and I have noted, that men in particular need order, fraternity, and ritual. So, you know, I had guys come up to me afterwards, man, I'm just flat in my prayer life. I'm dry. So which one of those three things are you lacking in your spirituality as a man? Order, fraternity, and ritual, specifically. Women as well, don't get me wrong. Order, you know, and by the way, I have various degrees, unfortunately or fortunately. My brain has been tortured over the years, but I have a minor in sociology. And I remember going to the back of a undergraduate sociology book under the M's in the glossary, under male bonding. Okay, this is a sociological term, but there is no, under the F, there is no, there at least at the time, was not a female bonding. Male bonding is a male phenomenon. We need fraternity. And this is where some of these, you know, guys are tapping into that, this great prayer group. These guys that I met, they have great fraternity. Men need that. They need the accountability. They need the fraternity, but also order, structure, ritual, discipline. This is very important for us to grow in our spiritual life.
Jesus 911, two-man car, Jess Romero, Dan Schneider. We'll continue talking about all things spiritual warfare.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Soap Patrol, Jesus 911, two-man car. Dan, I got two questions for you. The St. Michael Shield Prayer Group and men in general, we should be practicing smash-mouth Catholicism. It's not meant to... You know, people are saying, oh, Jess, I don't pray because it doesn't feel good. I say, man, dude, quit being a sissy. It's not meant to feel good. Dude, you call the ground and pound. You call it grind it out. Or your term, smash mouth. You know what smash mouth Catholicism reminds me of? Remember years ago, there was a cartoon. I'm dating myself. There's a little cartoon, a guy named Vavoom. And he would say Vavoom and a big old, you know, this cone would project out of his mouth and like he would like decimate a mountain or make a hole on a wall or something. You remember that? His name was Vavoom. It was a cartoon. That's what I see prayer is. It's Vavoom. When we open our mouth and project God's word into the cosmos, again, like you said, it has an offensive nature. And also, it also sets up a defensive perimeter. And if God would only allow us to see the effects of our prayer, every single guy would say, man, sign me up. I want to be part of smash mouth Catholicism. Yeah, define to me, Dan, in blue collar terms, smash mouth Catholicism.
Well, you know, being a good Ohio boy, smash mouth football, we grew up with this in the 70s, you know. And so it's just big on big, helmet on helmet, my guy on your guy. You know, as Woody Hayes had said, you know, talking about the passing game, you know, the anti-Woody Hayes would be this West Coast offense stuff that was popular for a while. He would say three things happen when you throw the ball and two of them are bad, right? So just run the ball, get 3 yards in a cloud of dust, 3 yards. All you need is 10 over four downs. Just keep it simple, grind it out. And so smash mouth Catholicism is just tapping into the liturgy of the church, the prayer, the grace flowing through the liturgy, flowing through your sacrament. And so this means not just going to Mass, but prayer, simple prayer, rosary, mental prayer, Lectio Divina, which is a Benedictine term for holy readings, reading scripture on a regular basis, learning discipline of the intellect or custody of the intellect, saying prayers at set times. You get up every morning at the same time, have a regimen. You know, the drill sergeant didn't walk up into this Marine's room and so, hey, if you want to sleep in, go ahead, but we're getting ready to fall in for formation. It's up to you. If you want to be a Marine, that's okay. You can be that type of Marine. No, get out of bed, you know, get out of bed. And it probably wasn't a very nice wake up call. You know, trash can lids, the whole thing. Have some discipline. So set times, some order to your prayer, making punctuate, ordering your life to prayer and not just praying when you need something. If you're an adult and listening here, and you're praying, Our Father, Hail Mary, gimme, 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 if that's your prayer, you're praying like a 4-year-old. That's the way 4-year-olds pray. They say an Our Father, they say a Hail Mary, and they say, now give me all this stuff, right? We got to pray like men, you know? And part of our prayer, again, this is the discovery of years in the ministry, that the diabolic and it reacts and responds to the discipline of prayer as much as he does to the prayers themselves. So we seem to, there's a lot of times people have the misconception that, oh, we just have to come up with the right prayer or the right novena. No, it's the discipline of prayer first. You have to set the stage. You know, this is like we had talked about going the road work of a fighter who runs. No fighter, you know, every fighter runs and every champion, just because you run doesn't mean you're going to be a champion. But if you're a champion, you run. You have that foundation of cardio. And if you don't have if you don't have some gas in the gas tank, you're not going to make it. You've got to do the discipline of daily rituals. You know, rosaries, novenas, plugging. When I say the plugging into the liturgy of the church calendar. Know today the Feast of Saint Sebastian, great saint for men. You know, along all you law enforcement guys, you soldiers out there, you Marines out there, Saint Sebastian's our guy. Developing devotion to the angels, to the saints. Joining societies. Don't join 100 of them. Find one that fits your spirituality and go with it. I'm a Benedictine oblate. I'm very happy with that. It's just grind it out. Ora et labora. Pray and work. Make your day a sacrifice. Make your day 3 yards at a time, being present to everybody around you, but being Christ. You might be the only chance that someone's going to see to meet Jesus Christ today, to open the Bible today. You might be the only guy. Lay the groundwork so when they see you, they see the virtues of Jesus Christ. That's smash mouth Catholicism. There's nothing fancy. Don't worry about trying to get mystical gifts and all these other charismatic gifts. That's great. If God wants to give them to you, so be it. Otherwise, grind it out where you're at in your vocation. Because your job at the end of the day is get your family, you and your family, get everybody to heaven together. That's our job.
I remember years ago, Chuck Norris gave a seminar in Southern California. And he came into the Jet Center to give some training. And he just told a bunch of, there's all kinds of fighters there, kickboxers, martial artists, boxers. And Chuck Norris told us, he says, you guys want to be champions. You guys want to be at the top of your game. Learn the basics well. Learn the basics well. I never forgot that, Dan. I heard that in the mid-80s. And he says, anything you want to be good at, learn the basics well. And I think that's what... that's what we mean when we're talking about smash mouth Catholicism. Again, it isn't like, oh Lord, give me this gift, give me that gift. First of all, God's going to give you whatever gifts He wants to give you. It isn't this, God, give me some candy. God is going to give you what you need. He knows what you need. We're called to grind it out. That's why the Bible calls us soldiers of Christ. It doesn't call us mystics for Christ. Notice that. New Testament theology doesn't call us mystics for Christ. It calls us soldiers for Christ. So it assumes that we are slugging it out one day at a time And that's why St. Paul even uses those analogies that we've got to run the race, likening it to a marathon. It's a long, arduous race. It's not an 100-yard sprint like, oh, I've got this gift now. God spoke to me. I'm going to save the world. Okay? Christianity is not a 50-yard dash. It's a marathon race. It's going to last the rest of our life. Let me ask you another question. In Johnny's case, where his parents are going to the occult, again, Johnny is you're teaching him, and the parents obviously. You got to receive that pain, and if it's diabolical, ask God to send a tenfold blessing upon the source of that pain. And if it's not, God, ask God to give you the grace to carry that cross. Again, what happens? Let's say the pain is diabolical. A demon is projecting some type of physical torment. What does it do, Dan, in the world of the spirit, in the spiritual realm, when you now turn that and say, God, I want you to give a tenfold blessing to the source of that pain if it is diabolical? What happens to the demon at that point? I mean, is he like, oh, cool, this guy's offering me a blessing. Oh, awesome. I mean, what happens in the diabolical mind when that is projected back at him?
Yeah, well, you get hit with a round. In the military, they call it counter battery. The artillery sends back 20 rounds back to where the source of it was. So we get a round coming into our guys. Our artillery is so used to be, but we had artillery in the battlefield, would be so quick that they could have rounds launched going the opposite direction before this one even hits. And so this is counterpunching. This is going back. I was training a fighter once, and he kind of maxed out what I could teach him. This guy is super talented. He's now a U.S. Army paratrooper serving our country in Kuwait. So this guy's a strong guy, strong, one of those fighters that has very little, his pain tolerance is over the top. And so I go to his trainer that I had handed him off to after I kind of gave him the basics. And I said, oh, and it's his very first fight. So what's the plan? And he says, well, we know we're stronger. I'm going to have him fight right through his punches. I'm going to let him eat a couple, but he's going to take him. And he's going to come back and get on the inside. And that's what we did. He took a couple of punches. He fought right through him because he was stronger, and he just started pounding the guy. And that's kind of what it works. If it's diabolic in origin, we ask you to send it back to its source with tenfold blessing. But what if it's psychological? It could be psychological. It could be my own psychological, my emotions, etc. But then you still ask. So it's not going the prayers. There's no source of the demon behind it, because the demon isn't everywhere. Sometimes it's just us and our minds. We're getting screwed up. We're emotional. We have attachments. We have obsessions about things. We have to grow in our trust of God. But even if that is the case, we offer our will to carry this cross. I'm suffering X. And I'm asking God for the grace to carry the cross. Lord, I'm suffering, back pain, knee pain, depression, sleeplessness, whatever. If this is not from you, I ask you to send it back to its source with a tenfold blessing. If you want me to carry this cross, I willfully accept it. I ask you for the grace to carry it, and I offer it for, and then whatever your intentions are. That's a very powerful prayer, because now, even if it's psychological, even if the pain that you're experiencing is physical, right? It's just regular old, you worked a little too hard as a young man, or you're just getting old, your physical pain. Offering that up now becomes salvific. You enter into the stream of the pouring out of graces. St. Paul in Colossians 1:24, I rejoice in my suffering, for in my body I make up what is lacking in the suffering of the body of Christ, which is the church. So Christ left his side open. Objectively, he secured, objectively speaking, the salvation of mankind, all the graces necessary in his death and resurrection. But he left his side open for our subjective participation in the distribution of those graces.
Then when you project this prayer back with a tenfold blessing, if it is diabolical, does this kind of like discombobulate the diabolical matrix? I mean, are they saying like, man, this doesn't compute. This guy is turning my physical attacks, and I'm causing him to become holy. I got to back off. Is that what happens in the spiritual realm?
Yeah, in a sense, in the spiritual realm, the enemy does not want, it goes against his fallen nature to participate in the salvation of souls, or the purification of souls. So he inadvertently becomes the instrument of our sanctification, and we become the instrument of his torture, his torment, through our suffering, through our offering it up. So in a sense, yeah, it must cause disorientation. It must cause some sort of angst to him. Now, there are going to be fighters like my fighter that are going to fight right through my punches. I'll throw 10 punches. He's just going to eat them. And that's when we go to the ground, you know, with the prayer of offering of suffering. But usually that is a very effective prayer. But it also, not only is it a great prayer, it's a great discipline to catch yourself when you little annoyances, traffic, waiting in line, all the little annoyances of life, the little annoyances of that COVID has just made worse. Why are we suffering so much mental illness, suicides, and all these other psychological effects because of COVID? Because of the same thing, people don't know how to deal with the loneliness, with the solitude, with the separation, you know, the lack of intimacy. All these things are creating all sorts of psychological problems as well. Learning to deal with every aspect and offering it up to God, that our life becomes ordered to prayer. And not every prayer is a prayer of jubilation and union. Smash mouth Catholicism, just offering everything up, just grinding it out. Get up the next morning. It's all we can do.
That's right. Hey, if you like what you hear, then like us and hit the subscribe button, hit the bell to be notified and share this show with others. Remember, the month of January is dedicated to the holy name of Jesus. Make any excuse throughout the day to say the name of Jesus with faith, hope, and love. Up next, Gary Machuda, hands-on apologetics, coming from the Midwest Command Center. Two soldiers for Christ signing off. Jess Romero, Dan Schneider. We're 10-7. We're out.
Bye, chatters.